Welcome to episode 242 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Last weekend saw me undertaking the photography for my latest article, destined for publication in Camping Magazine in a couple of months' time. On this occasion, it's a piece centred around family camping, and whilst I wasn't able to record any audio whilst out shooting, I did sit down to talk through the pictures and technical considerations when back in the office. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 242! It is just after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and as I record this, it is a Wednesday, and I have got just about 20 minutes before I've got to shut everything down. I'm in my office and head out to get on with other things. But what I thought I would do is just give you a very, very quick whistle-stop tour of a set of pictures which I took last weekend for a feature for Camping Magazine. Now, a lot of you know that I write for all sorts of magazines and shoot for all sorts of different people in the outdoor industry. The ideas are often mine that I'm working on. I pitch them and the commissions are taken on and I work on them. Or other times I just get sent ideas or suggestions and, you know, would I be able to work to this sort of brief and so forth. Anyway, very, very quickly then. This article is all about family camping, a weekend away in West Sussex. Now, those of you that know where I am, I'm in Hampshire, which is right on the border with West Sussex on the south coast of the UK. And so it was important for me to find a campsite where we could go that wasn't too far away, that was easily doable within a weekend, so that there are attractions that are appealing to families, and that was basically the premise of the trip. So we went on a Friday, came back on the Monday. So, and it was a really nice long weekend. We got a lot packed into it. So in front of me, I have Adobe Bridge, and I've got a set of pictures. There are 226 pictures, and from those I will probably whittle it down to about 10 to 15 to be submitted with my words for this feature for the magazine. Now, in terms of the technical side of things, the camera equipment and so forth, I was travelling really light. I had one camera and two lenses. I had my Nikon D800 with the 35mm f1.8, which I love. It does give some vignetting if you don't use the DX format crop. I tend to use it without the cropping, but I just frame up a little bit wider because it's such a sharp lens, especially in bright sunshine, which it was for essentially all of the trip. And then it means because the resolution, the quality is there, I can just crop out the vignetting, and it gives me that ever so slightly wider view. What I am hoping to do is to try out the 20mm, which I believe is a 1.8. Those of you that listened to my conversation with Rob McNeice from Nikon UK, you will have heard me talking about that particular lens. And just as soon as I get around to arranging it, I'm going to have that on review and I'll be able to tell you how that lens performs. It essentially will get around the need to crop out a vignette as I understand it. So that was the first lens. The second one was an old, tried and tested 24-85mm I think it's 3.5 to 4. Let me just double check. I'm just going to look on my phone and have a look at my Instagram feed, because I did share a picture of it. Let's have a look. My mistake. It's a 24-85mm f2.8 to 4 macro. So the variation in aperture there basically means that when you zoom, the biggest aperture doesn't always remain at f2.8 like some of the fast lenses, like the 80-200 AFS or the 24-70. This one varies that between f2.8 and f4. So, you know, a slight drop in light coming through the lens, but I personally have never found it to be a problem. The reason I took that lens as opposed to, say, my 24-70, there are two reasons. One, the 24-70 is physically bigger and heavier, and I just didn't want that bulk. And secondly, the 24-85 is very similar in its the perspective, the range that it covers, but it, like I say, it's that much smaller, more compact, a little bit lighter. The macro feature, the close-up focusing, is really good and worth having. So although there weren't details that I was taking, especially over the course of this weekend, if I did want to go in a bit close, maybe go in close and wide to lead the eye in to a picture, it's still really sharp to give that close focusing functionality. Like I say, one camera, the D800, those two lenses. I also took the Manfrotto B3 carbon tripod because it's nice and, relatively speaking, lightweight and compact. Didn't use it in the end. I also took a sort of a tabletop tripod, a Manfrotto tabletop tripod. Again, didn't use that, but that was essentially it. No flash guns, nothing like that. So let's just talk about the actual pictures. Like I say, 226, and from that 10-15. So the important thing with this feature, it's going to be running to I think two pages. It's just a double page spread because it's just a very sort of, you know, nice compact go away for a weekend type article. I've got others coming up through the year which are spanning more pages. So I didn't have to do loads for this, but it was important to shoot enough to go with what we did over the course of this weekend. So it's all about keeping the family happy, making sure there's lots of sights to see and, you know, what's around and so forth. So obviously I would always do some research to see what's in the area. It just so happens that the area that we went to, I'm familiar with what's around, so it was really easy to be able to say, oh, let's just go over there for a day, or another day we could go to this location and this location. So, you know, it kind of took the pressure off. So the first thing we did, we went to a place called Petworth, which is a really nice old town there. Lots to see. There's the opening shots I've got here is a shot of a park. Nothing particularly special there. Shot from fairly wide angle because obviously there are kids in the picture. I don't need to identify other people's children in here. I wasn't going to go and get model release forms signed by the parents. So it was just, you know, a general wide angle shot, which shows that there's a nice grass area. And off to the left-hand side, as you look at it, there's a slide and swings and all that sort of thing to suggest that, you know, if you've got young children, it's ideal. You know, there is a park in Petworth that you can go to and, you know, keep them happy. The next shots for consideration in the feature, there's, like an arcade. Just trying to have a look at like a shopping arcade. Within that, there's a little sort of square where there are some sort of cafes where you can sit and have a coffee. There's a bookshop. So, you know, just a fairly wide shot, cropped in a little bit of just people sat there, some nice architecture. There are old buildings. People sat there having a coffee, again, from slightly further away. And actually, most of the people have their back to the camera, so there's no real issue there, and or they're not looking at the camera. They're involved in their conversations and having their coffees and what have you. So that's, you know, a possibility. These aren't necessarily all going to be possibilities. I might look at them and think, do you know what, it just doesn't do it. There's really not anything that I want to include. The other thing, I haven't made the final selection here because I haven't actually put together the words yet for my feature. And it could well be that I think, I really want to include this particular place because it was, you know, really nice. So, for example, there was a place there which is a nice little restaurant, which I've been to in the past, and we know that the food and the atmosphere and the, you know, and everything is really nice. Got a picture of that. Probably will end up in there. But what I tend to find is that the words and the pictures kind of bounce off one another. They kind of influence how the article takes shape. And what I tend to do is to have sort of bullet points, or what I use is post-it notes, and I'll usually get one large post-it note and rip it into about three strips and just make kind of like almost headline bullet points, which I can then rearrange on a piece of paper or on my desk. And it might have sort of for this particular article, it might be food and places to eat or dining or what have you. It might be places for kids. It might be shopping. It might be big attractions, alternative attractions, you know, and that sort of arrangement. If you've seen my Instagram feed, you will have seen pictures that I've shared where I'm, I show that process. And actually, as I've started doing the Instagram stories recently, when I come to do this, I'll be sharing the process as well through that. It will give you a real kind of real life, as it were, explanation. So the next shots to consider are, there's a cobbled street on a bit of an incline, really, really nice church at the top of the other side of the road, nice restaurants, some antique shop, lots of antique shops in Petworth. That's almost certainly going to be included because it's a really nice, quaint sort of little street. There's a detail shot, well, I say detail, sort of like a zoomed in shot of a particular shop here selling, I suppose it's like housewares, but, you know, quite, what's the word? You know, sort of wickerware and sort of nice, homely kind of things. My mind's gone blank a little bit. Then another shot of a sign that says antiques, and it's got nice flower baskets, a flower trough above it, and flowers sort of tumbling over, which, again, just a detail shot. It's probably going to be that I'll submit, like I say, these 10 to 15. I might go a little bit more, but probably it doesn't need more than 10 realistically. But what I tend to do is I tend to pick out what I think are the main shots and then throw in maybe 2 to 4 extras that I think, that might kind of work quite well. And because it's out of my control, I don't pick the exact pictures that get published. That's down to the people that lay up the feature, and I'd rather submit a few extras so they've got the choice rather than them having to come back to me to say, oh, I don't suppose you've got a picture of this, that, or the other. That's that. Another shop, antique shop again, but it's a real Tudor building, so sort of brick and wood, kind of, you know, very distinctive, really, really nice. Might well go in there. I seem to recall it was a bit of a rush shot, and that one wasn't quite sharp, and just as I was about to take the second one, a car pulled up right in front, which basically obscured the whole of the front of the shop. So that was unfortunate. That was a missed shot, but it does happen. Let's see. Looking into what is essentially the square in the town here, there's a building which I think maybe was a town hall in the past. It's just sort of boutique shops now. It's okay. Nothing special. It's maybe on my kind of, I don't know how you'd, you know, sometimes I'll look at pictures and I'll think, right, this is the definite, this is a maybe, and this is a definitely no list. So then went back through this, went to this shopping arcade. You know, just nice people walking through there. Then I kind of went further back with the, these shots, by the way, were now shot on the 35mm. I started off shooting the first day or so on that lens, and then decided to switch. And actually, it may well be that I start just using the 24-25 as my main lens for these sorts of trips, and the 35 is just there as a backup. But I went far enough back that, you know, I can crop to get that vignette out of there. Like I say, it is a mismatch between the camera body, which is an FX format sensor, and the lens, which is a DX lens. But, you know, who's to say you shouldn't use it? If it works for you, there are many examples in photography, just as there are in all walks of life and arts and career paths, where just because the thing isn't exactly the intended purpose or isn't exactly how the manufacturer recommends you use it, doesn't mean to say you shouldn't, and often the results are very, very striking. So that was just another example, again shooting it vertically and horizontally, just to give a real give me the option there. Some shots with people walking through, you kind of have to pick your moment. They're also somewhere it's empty. Realistically, these pictures aren't going to be published really big. I would imagine they're more likely to pick more pictures and have them smaller with the captions that I supply, just to give a really good sort of sense of the whole, you know, what is being spoken about in the article. Okay, let's speed it up a little bit because I'm aware of the time. Again, just sort of some street shots that finished off Petworth. Then we went to Arundel, which is a lovely, lovely place. If you've never been to Arundel, it's got a castle there. Really good. I've not been there for years, but it always reminds me of a Lego castle that I used to build when I was a young boy. we didn't actually go in. These shots were taken from the outside just to show the main entrance gateway. There was a flag flying above, so just trying to watch my timing. The exposure there was, because it was so bright, it was ISO 100, f6.3 at a 200th of a second, so enough to freeze that flag. Just trying to pick my moments so that it was the Union Jack or Union flag, you know, making sure that was, you know, flying as clear as possible. So, you know, some shots there where people are walking through the foreground, I had to wait for taxis and cars to get out of the way, which just made the shot look messy. Then there are shots where it's really very empty. There's maybe a few people queuing to go through the door. I think there's a couple here where there's absolutely no one in there. Cropping sort of off to one side for a number of these. Others where I pulled back to show as much of it as I could. Then there are some where it's slightly wider because there's a river, or I suppose the moats that originally went round the outside. It's more of a ditch now. Still with water in it. But that was nice to kind of feature in there as well with the greenery. The greenery against the blue sky was so striking on this particular day. Just skipping ahead, if you ever go there, you walk to the right of the castle down an avenue of trees. It was a road that has trees either side, like an avenue. And you get, if you look to your left, you get a view right up to the castle, which sits somewhat higher up. And it's really nice, the greenery, the trees frame it really nicely. And actually, if you happen to be a photographer and you are shooting weddings, it's a very popular spot to pose the bride and groom there. A little bit of fill-in flash to bring out to fill in the shadows because of the trees, but to give, you know, this castle in the background. Now, you do have to be careful that it doesn't look a bit CGI, especially because of atmospherics, because it's that much further back, it can look quite flat. So you might want to put a bit of post-production in there just to kind of give a bit of extra depth to the castle, just to bring it forward, bring it out a little bit. So that was that, you know, for a lot of people, the biggest attraction for Arundel is the castle. So that was definitely on my list. And that's where I started using the 24-85 because it was that much further away. There was the water that I wanted to have in the foreground in some pictures, but then to crop out in others. Not sure quite which I prefer at the moment. I'll have to kind of look at it. You do kind of get the converging verticals effect ever so slightly. You know, as long as the picture is essentially straight, the composition, it's not really going to matter so much in this particular instance. You can always correct it if you want in Photoshop. And I certainly wasn't going to take a tilt and shift lens. Then there, just across the road from there, there is the remains of a Dominican priory, Blackfriars. And there's an information panel there. I won't bore you with the details at the moment. But again, just taking shots of that because it's, you know, it's, there is this, the walls of it are there, but it's all been sort of like paved so you can sit and have some, you have your lunch and what have you. So that was that. Then whilst we're still in Arundel, there's the waterside cafe and boat hire. If you ever have the chance, hire a boat, little speedboat sort of thing. And you can go up the river a certain distance and come back. You don't have anyone, with you to guide you. They probably do offer that, but, when we did it, not on this occasion, but in the past, I have some experience, with boats. So, didn't need it, and it was lovely. It was lovely just to go up and down the river like that. Then on our way back to the car park is a shot up the high street. I did it from different angles, looking across. There's the Norfolk Arms Hotel, again very popular for weddings. So yeah, just, you know, taking that in, taking the street into account, with trying to frame it certain way. So I did it from one angle of cross. I was kind of going into the sun a little bit. There wasn't any flare, but it was just this means the sky was kind of sky was white, bleached out a bit. So I went the other side. I was essentially in the shade by that point. It was can I look at the time on here? It was about 4:30 in the afternoon, so the sun was starting to be a slightly lower in the sky, so it cast shadows across a lot of the road, but not all. But it just adds a nice kind of there's a memorial statue there which caught the sun, and of course the buildings on the right are nice and warm. Again, once I kind of tweak it, just give it a bit more depth, a bit more either contrast or just boost the blacks a little bit, drop the sky down a bit to retain, you know, that bring out the blue of the sky and the puffy clouds there, it'll be really nice. So that was the end of Arundel. It was then back to the campsite, and just a couple of shots of our tent with the car. When I just such as it is for, you know, sometimes when you feature your cars or other people's cars, you'll want to blank out the number plate. I actually shoot from different angles so that the number plate of my car is either so small that you can't really see it, and certainly won't when it's published small in a magazine, or, you know, just take it out, you know, just white out the numbers. Fairly common practice. So then the next day we had a whole day at a place called Fisher's. Now what's it called? Fisher's. Hang on, my mind's gone blank because it's a few words. Let me just double check, because, you know, if you've got a family and you fancy taking a trip, where's this? Here we are. It's in Wisborough Green in West Sussex, Fisher's Adventure Farm Park. And it was, you know what, we had such a good day. It was probably the best family day out that we've ever had. So, you know, a whole day there. And this was like the main, you know, in terms of, had in my mind thinking, how is the story, how is this feature going to be building up, how is the photography going to reflect it? So essentially, the main event, the big attraction, was Fisher's. So I took lots of pictures there, and the places like Arundel and Petworth, they kind of, you know, sort of fall into place around that. So just very briefly, yeah, you've got, let's have a look here. You know, overviews of the park. There's lots of attractions. There's animals. There was things like helter skelters and bouncy things and go-karts and tractor rides and adventure assault courses. I won't get into all the details. Just to say that if you are shooting anything with children, as I alluded to before, I spoke directly with the marketing team at Fisher's to get access and to have a special arrangement with them. But they did, of course, say, oh, are you going to be taking pictures of the children that are there, sort of other people's children? And I said, well, look, I understand exactly where you're coming from. No, they will, you know, I'll do my best to make sure that they're essentially not featured, or they'll be just very small in the frame, or their backs will be to the camera. But ordinarily, you know, again, if they were featuring more prominently, I would either approach the parents and say, like, I'm doing this, are you happy for me to do this? Or I try and get them to sign a model release form. For those that don't know, model release form basically comes down to the fact that the subjects say, yeah, I am fully aware that you have taken my picture and you're going to use the pictures for this and this, and you're free to use them for your publicity and advertising and all that sort of thing. And often the trade-off is you say, well, tell you what, I'll send you a copy of the picture. And that, for most people, rather than offering payments or anything like that, that is enough for a lot of people. They're just very pleased that you've shown an interest and think that them and they and their kids are, you know, photogenic. So, you know, so those considerations as well, as a field with, was it goats and sheep and things in. What else we got here? There's sort of like a sort of a man-made river sort of running through there. There's an indoor like barn area where there's shire horses and, oh, what's that, rabbits and all this sort of thing. You know, you're shooting little children from behind, get them interacting with the animals, set them off to one side, so use the rule of thirds to lead the eye in. If they've got colourful clothes there, all the better. All these pictures were shots handheld without any flash or anything. This particular shot, it was not the well, it was fairly bright area, but not too bad. Regardless, I was shooting at ISO 2000, f6.3 and an 80th of a second, which was just about fine. It was lovely and sharp. This particular shot, the horse is slightly out of focus, ever so slightly out in the background, but the subject in the foreground is nice and sharp and just leads the eye in. So there's, you know, a series of shots based around that theme, just trying to give myself options. Overview shots of, there was a display of all sort of farming implements and that sort of thing. A couple of donkeys here called Bonnie and Clyde. some pigs called, some micro pigs. You know, just signs are good for leading the eye in, all this sort of thing. Composition is very important. Some alpacas, lovely creatures. I just poked my lens through the railings, dropped down more to their level to be more engaging. Wildlife photographers will often tell you, if you want to get engaging pictures of wildlife, your best bet is to, where possible, drop down to their level, see the world from their eye line, and it engages the viewer really well. Outdoor shots of like an adventure play area, kids playing on that. What else we got here? There's a water ride, didn't take any pictures there. Trampolining is always good. Bright blue sky, puffy white clouds, little boy or girl jumping high in the sky, all that is really good. Shots there, you know, because there's movement, you got to have a fast shutter speed, but you don't know exactly where the kids are going to be. So I shot at f11, ISO 200, gives you an idea how bright it was, 320th of a second, and not a bit of movement in the frame. Puffy white clouds, blue sky, really nice. Shot from low down, almost at trampoline level, so you kind of get a bit more drama in there. There are some gypsy caravans there, so just some general shots are there. Tractor rides, like I say, there's pedal power tractors. There was also sheep racing, which was brilliant. It was you didn't have to pay for a ticket, you just said who you wanted to bet on, and these, was it four or five sheep, went running around in a circle. They really enjoyed it. There was, you know, for those of you saying, well, was it cruel or anything, they really enjoyed it. And apparently they do enjoy it because they're very tame. And it was literally one short circuit of this like oval. It was really good bit of fun. The kids and adults alike really enjoyed it. Then there's a new indoor play area, really good, with some atmospheric lighting and music. One shot I took here, again handheld, just to kind of, I didn't have a tripod, didn't really have a way of supporting the camera other than handheld, so I kind of used my best judgment. F4, a 15th of a second at ISO 3200. So that the noise is a little bit higher, but actually it's fine. Again, I'll put, won't saturate the colors anymore because these purples and blues and pinks are really striking. But I will probably, again, just put a little bit more in the blacks, slider. That I find works just as well as using the contrast slider, just to kind of give a bit of extra depth, a bit of pop on those pictures. So that was basically, bear with me 1 second, just remembered, as is often the way, there is an alarm about to go off on my phone to remind me that I have to be somewhere, so let me just turn that off. There we go. So that was my final shot. No kids playing on it, just a nice kind of standalone, this is part of the attraction shot. On the way in, it wasn't the best opportunity to get a shot of the entrance, so I just got 3 shots of that on the way out. Again, F11, ISO 125 on that occasion. By that point, the sky was a bit more cloud. They're slightly more grey. Let me just look earlier. So when we first went in, it was about the same exposure, so the brightness was much the same. But there was a queue of people. Not in all of them, actually. In 1 out of 3 shots, there was people queuing. So again, it gives me options. That's the main thing. And that is it. That is the absolute half-hour whistle-stop tour of the pictures that I took for a feature. Like I say, I haven't gone into a lot of detail, you know, because I haven't, frankly, I haven't got the time today. I've got now, probably just realistically, I've got maybe sort of a couple of minutes before everything's going to get shut down. I've got to be on my way. But hopefully that's given you a bit of an insight. You will have heard me speaking about another feature that I did for Camping Magazine, one of the ones I did for them last year. I think I spoke about several, but there's one bigger feature on the Isle of Wight. I will link to the podcasts and so forth in the show notes, because there was some, I recorded some audio, if you remember, or if you wouldn't remember if you haven't listened, but as I walked around and as I was shooting, it's quite well received. People like to hear that. So I hope that's been interesting. I hope it's informed you, got you thinking. Again, I'm shooting these pictures for a magazine feature under commission, but, you know, one of the best ways to develop your photography, develop your skill as a storyteller, because that's what photography is to set yourself a project. It could be a color, shape, theme, based around an event or a location. But, you know, it's the same skills whether you do it for yourself as it is if you are doing it for a magazine or a company or anything like that. So I hope that's been of use to you. If you've got any questions, as ever, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. I've now got about 2 weeks until submission of the piece, and I'll be sharing some further thoughts about the process along the way. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.